So since today is Father's Day, we have a round table of fathers here. We have many fathers here, and I hope some of us here represents you this morning. Do you like the homey smell this morning in the sanctuary? Yeah? You do? I do. We'll give a big hand to Sharon and Camille. Yeah, wonderful. If some of you are hungry, we got bread here, and don't mind if I enjoy it over here, right? I'm a father. That's our round table. And the scripture is from Micah, that he will turn the hearts of father to the children and the hearts of the children to the father. So we want to welcome you this morning. Let me introduce you these three fine gentlemen here this morning. Hayes Dennis. He's the department chair for hospitality management at Mission College. Let's welcome him. Yeah. And the second father here this morning is Andre Olias, or how do you say that? Olias. Okay. Olias. He's a senior manager at the NetScout System Inc. He is the senior manager for manufacturing and engineering testing. So we want to welcome you. Let's welcome him. Yeah. And the father here on my right is Joel Robinson. He's a geologist at the Volcanics Science Center at USGS. He's also our board chairman and a friend and a partner in the ministry. So let's welcome him. Yeah. I am very proud to display before you what fine fathers we have in the church. And these are some of the fine fathers that are here this morning. And we're just going to have a conversation. So join with us in the conversation. It's not going to be a sermon. It's fathers talking to fathers and sharing the heart of a father. And hopefully in praying that one of these days our children will come to the true Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to start with Andre. Can you tell us what education has played a role in your life as an engineer, as a manager, as a father, as a husband?
So first of all, I bring my cheat sheet. Yeah. So I'm going to read it just to make sure I don't miss anything. Okay. Well, when I was a kid, I'm always fascinated about how technology works, how man's creative ideas resulted in amazing things. I had a habit of breaking things apart to understand them. I always dream of becoming an engineer, you know, a designer, a scientist. Well, education nourished my mind, made me realize my passion, and provides me with tools I need in order to be part of the prestigious workforce, which is the Silicon Valley. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life. The challenges excites me. The feeling of contentment when when I pass exams, and the regrets and frustration when I fail. All these experiences prepared me to be a greater, to become, you know, all these challenges prepared me to be who I am in my career.
All right. Mm-hmm. And when I talk to you, Hayes, one of the things that struck me the first time I met with you and fellowship and aid with you was the role of education. You shared to me, and it inspired me when you were talking about how you moved to St. Louis, from St. Louis, UNLV, you know, had served in many prison system here, and then you went to Stanford, and that just grabbed my heart. So can you talk about your education, your journey from St. Louis to here, and how it has impacted your life?
Well, education, I grew up without an option. I was encouraged to go to college. It was just a career pathway. And early on, I wanted to be a dentist. And so I think I knew at that age that that was kind of a rigorous career, but that was the goal I was going to be in. And kind of got sidetracked, but I wound up, as you mentioned, the Air Force Academy, which is a very rigorous educational facility. And I was not successful there, but I went on to go back to St. Louis to get my associate degree, UNLV. And I got into food service. And so while I was at UNLV, I started in the correctional food service. And so that is sometimes I go to high schools and I talk about my career pathway, and I'll make a statement. I'll say, well, once I graduated UNLV, I wound up in a Las Vegas detention center. And then I'll say, after I left Las Vegas, I went to Santa Rita Correctional Facility. And they're thinking, sometimes the instructor doesn't even know, like, oh my God, who did I invite to talk to our students? And I was actually a food service manager in correctional facility. But that experience enabled me to see just how valuable education is, because I was in an environment where a lot of people just didn't have the opportunity to go to school, to have good role models. It was really eye-opening, actually, it was quite fascinating. And then to go from that environment into Stanford University as a food service director in their dining service, and just to be in that high-level educational environment was quite fascinating to me as well. Obviously, there's a direct link between education and being an educator. And so I constantly try to improve myself. And there was a gap between my bachelor's degree and my master's, but I was able to finally complete that, and I'm in Mission College.
All right. And I want to ask the same thing to Mr. Robinson. How education had played in your life as a husband, as a father, and as a scientist, you know. Can you share to us and to the young people?
As a scientist, that's the easy one. That's because everyone I work with has advanced degrees. I have an advanced degree. And it was necessary to sort of train us in how to critically think about things. I mean, to some it comes naturally, to others you got to really work at it. And so that's something that I use day in, day out, you know, looking at problems. Okay, you came up with this answer, but is that really the best answer? Let's look at it again. Sometimes that plays well in my married life, and sometimes it doesn't. Critically looking at things and asking questions. But, yeah, I still hear laughter. Okay. but, you know, as a role as a father, I think I think we all shared that we all want our kids to be educated. We all want our kids to be able to be the best that they can be, and we know that education plays a major role in that.
Yeah. And what about your faith? How does your faith play in with education and in the profession that you are talking about?
Well, it's an interesting dynamic between my faith and my education and my career path, because I am a scientist, I am a geologist, I work with the earth, and there is a big, you could call it a schism, there's a big break between science, geology, evolution, and Christianity. There's a perceived break between those two big things. Many days, many times, many discussions, I feel like I'm straddling the middle of them. But I understand that God is at the root of all of it, and that He is the creator, and He has chosen to create the world in a wonderful way.
Amen. Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah. What about you, Hayes? How has faith played in all this journey?
It has sustained me. You know, teaching is not that dissimilar to raising kids a little bit. And so you have to encourage, you have to provide motivation, you have to manage failure. And so, you know, when those things get challenging, I try to fall back on my faith and just try to persevere, just as you would if you were dealing with a child that's struggling. It has also just helped me to keep focused throughout my career, throughout challenges that I've had to face, either professionally or personal. You know, whenever sometimes you look up and you say, how did I wind up here? And it doesn't look like there's a pathway out. You know, faith will come down, God will come down and show you a way, show you a pathway. So I've tried to just remain faithful. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be in that regard. And so it's a journey. It's a journey for me.
All right. Andre, what about you? How has faith played in your life? What role has it played?
Well, first of all, when I was in high school, I would say that I'm not a really good student. You know, I'm basically maybe a below average guy, but I really like math and science, math subjects. But I'm really poor in other subjects, and And when I was about to go to college, and I happened to pass, you know, I passed the exam for and get into a very good college, in engineering college. And one of my teachers in high school was really surprised that I made in, because he knew that I'm just an average student, and he was wondering how did I get in there. But God has a purpose, you know, because I accepted Jesus Christ. I met Jesus Christ while I'm in college, through Christian groups, Christian ministries. That's where I found Jesus, and that's where I experienced God's power. Because I know I won't be able to make it during my first year during freshman. I thought I won't be able to survive, and after I found Jesus and accepted Jesus in my life, the whole thing changed, and wisdom is pouring on me. Is that I don't even need to read books, just listening to the professors, and I can pass the exam, and it was amazing. And that time I was also helping my parents on their business, so my schedules are really hectic, and then I'm also serving the youth. But I experienced God's power through His mercy. He changed my life through the wisdom He's giving me. I graduated, and I praise God for that.
Amen, amen. Yes, amen. You found Christ when you were in college, and that changed your life. Now, how was it different, or how is it different as a father and as a college student? Do you have to juggle your faith, or was it challenging, or has there been some changes?
Well, I consider myself as a human and a sinner. And after college, I of course devoted myself and my time to my career. I spent lots of time, personal time, to be able to be somebody. And at that process, I somehow lose my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't have time anymore. But God is so good, because God, Jesus actually have plans for everybody. I've been attending this church for almost 2 years now. Last year, October, we bought a house in Hayward. The reason why we ended up buying a house in Hayward is not because we really want to move in Hayward. It's because we don't have any other options. We've been looking for a house in Santa Clara, in San Jose, for almost 6 months that time, and our offers always turn around. They won't accept our offers. We are losing hope that we will not have any home, and our landlords wanted us to move because they're going to occupy the condominium that we are renting. So we have no other choice but to really move and find a place. But the apartments here are so expensive, and it will be even more than the mortgage. So we've been praying to God to lead us to our home, and when we saw Hayward, we fell in love in that home, and we got it. We got a home. We don't have much competition. There's only two offers, and we were surprised. This is so easy. We got this home. So we were surprised at the time. But the commute is horrible. I've been driving an hour and 15 minutes every day, an 8:30 and 2:37, sometimes even 2 hours. And then one day I decided to just take a train. When I was in a hurry, I thought I'm going to miss the train. When I rode the train, it was moving in a different direction. Instead of going to San Jose, it was moving to Oakland. So I end up, and I can't stop the train. I was actually moving back and forth, knocking the engineers. They won't stop the train. So I end up stopping in Oakland. I was sitting alone by myself, and I was so afraid that if somebody is going to rob me or do something harm on me, no one will see me. So And the next thing will be an hour and 15 minutes. So I will be there stuck for an hour and 15 minutes. And I was praying to God that, God, please protect me. And at that time, I can't do anything. You know, I have so much idle time. I was looking at my phone. I opened my Bible app. And I realized that, hey, I can hit the play button and I can just listen to the words of God, not even just reading it. So from there, it changed my whole life. God touched my heart again, because now that I discovered that simple app, I'm cruising in 880 every minute that I'm driving at 880 for an hour and 15 minutes. Every minute is a joyful experience because I'm listening to the Word of God. In fact, I have an hour and 15 minutes time, so that's like 2 hours every day listening to the Word of God, and I'm still hunger for more. Even yes. I get home, I want to read more of the Bible, and in fact, I won't even remember my driving experience going to 280. I'm driving it at 880. Before, I was so mad about other drivers. Now, it's like everybody's a good driver for me. So that's how, you know. There are more about my faith, but that's how I experience God every day, and I know that that's the purpose, because I didn't have any time before when I was, you know, living in Santa Clara. Now that God moved me away, now God gave me time to know Him better.
Right. So being rooted in the Word, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Hayes? What about faith? You know, when you were not a father, has there been some revelation, enlightenment?
I think before I became a father, I was pretty self-centric. You know, not, I won't say selfish, but just a lot of my actions and motivations were, you know, for my own, what I wanted to do for myself. And even though I have always, even during that time prior to being a father, I would say that I have, those efforts have yielded well professionally, you know. But once I became a father, my horizons expand. You know, and it's not just, you know, you always hear all the time, you put yourself aside for the sake of your child. But, and there's that, of course. But, you know, just looking not just to your future, but the child's future. And your story resonated with me a little bit, because you took the, you know, who likes sitting in traffic? But you turned that into a positive. God enabled you to turn it into a positive. And so one of the things that I've realized is that when I've come up against the walls and just feel like you're struggling, you know, God puts challenges in your life for a reason. You're this is the way I interpreted my life. You're missing something. You're not doing something. And he'll fire a shot over the bow. And if you take heed, okay. But if you don't, you know, you'll eventually be forced to stop and address whatever it is that God wants you to address. And so, being able to recognize that has helped me through some struggles and challenges. And then as an educator, I like to think that I see certain things in some of my students that are struggling and challenging. And while formally I don't introduce scripture or passages into my lectures, but I do try to get across, excuse me, if I see someone that looks like they might be struggling, just a little encouragement, a little extra time, because you never know what will turn somebody around, what will help them. So it's been a journey, though. It's interesting.
All right. What about you, Joel? Same question about, you know, faith when you were single and after you're married. Any insights for us?
Well, you can decide whether they're insightful or not. I was thinking about this question quite a bit this week, you know, thinking back over what I was like growing up, because I became Christian at a young age. And definitely single through elementary school and high school and that sort of thing. And how my life was different then. And then in college, I mean, college was a really, I mean, as maybe many of us can attest, college is a much different place to be than any other place, whether it's high school or out in the business world. And then becoming married. And there was a long break between college and kids for me. It was nice. And I say my faith has been a growing, evolving path the whole time. Just getting around to saying that I'm not sure that it's changed that much since I became a father. I mean, it has, and it has grown. I mean, there's definitely times that I have prayed for patience more than I may have otherwise. There is definitely, as Hayes pointed out, definitely you're in it for more than just yourself a lot of times. And there is a look to the future, a consideration of not only what is today, but what is tomorrow going to bring, and where is God taking us. But there wasn't I'm a father, I need to change moment that happened for me. But there definitely is a big growth that has happened, not just when I became a father, but after college, getting married, and then realizing that I am an adult, and I need to start acting like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the first statements that I remember when we first met was, "Pastor, it's easier to work with rocks than people."
Oh yes, yes. People are harder than rocks, I think is the exact quote. People are harder than rocks. I would much rather interact with rocks than people sometimes.
So what is the anchor of your life in all this journey? What has been the anchor of your life?
I think, everyone in this room, we can sort of say that since we became Christians, the anchor has sort of been God. That's our spiritual anchor. That's what we can hang on to. And then, as you move on in your life and you move into relationships, of course, our wives become our earthly anchor, the person that we look to when things are going bad to hang on to and say, okay, I'm not strong enough. How do we fight this?
All right. Hey, let's give a hand to our wives. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Hayes? What has been the anchor for you?
I would very much like for faith to be the anchor in my life. And I said earlier, I'm not where I want to be in that journey, but I'm not where I used to be. The great deal of the energy that a lot of people that I've noticed put into not just their work, but their family, their lives, and every aspect of their life, I put that into my job almost exclusively, my work. And while that has sustained me, it's not enough. And so, I would look for we talked earlier about trying to divert some of my time and energy, and I appreciate my work ethic and how that's been a part of my life, but it's time for something more. So I would really like for faith, for God to guide the majority of all of my decisions, actually, and just kind of keep that before me. During college, I was able to get through school. I worked myself through school, and, if I'd gone to church on Sunday, that was a good week for me. I've always had faith, I've always believed, but I didn't always strive to put that first and foremost in my life, and that's where I am right now.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Andre, what about you?
My wife and I before we tried for almost more than five years to have children, and we never we didn't have a children during that time. So we tried many times. It's been like almost more than 5 years, and we can't have a baby. And I was lately we discovered that I was diagnosed with a very low sperm count, and my wife also needs to take some medication to increase her chance of birth. But we keep holding on until we feel the some kind of emptiness with us, because we really want to be a father. I want to be a father. My wife wants to be a parent. And one day, God hears our prayer and we become whole. So, the experience that we have when we have our first child, seeing the creation of God, seeing how beautiful our daughter is. I experience God, and I see God's image on her. As our family grew, I realized how the Holy Spirit is moving in our life, and how God the Father and how Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one, and one in one as a family, as we are one in a family, and God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, my family, my wife, and the Word of God is the amazing things that happen in my life, and that's something that won't be removed from me. I told my wife, I said that, you know, God is really touching my heart, that I said, even if I die tonight, I would say that I won't be worried. I know that God will protect you, and God will, and I will meet Jesus in heaven, and I know that this is something that's not something that out of my head, but just the blessing of the Holy Spirit. So through the power of reading the gospel, through the power of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's why I say that the anchor of my life is the Word of God, and you know, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and my family.
Amen. Yep. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. What do you have, a specific scripture verse or verses that is like, this is my verse, this is my life verse?
I have so many, but Mark 4, verse 4, it says there that man doesn't live by bread alone, but for every word that comes from God. That's the most powerful verses for me.
Amen. What about you, Hayes?
I thought about this all week when you asked, and so I didn't come up with a scripture, but growing up, my mother told me to always read the book of Proverbs, you know, and I have several times, and what I draw from that are passages about diminishing self, seeking wise counsel, warning against very current and real dangers that are out here today that we all face, warnings against, you know, sacrificing eternity for gratification of the moment. And so those are some of the things that resonate with me. And then just a general concept, I don't know if it's a scripture or not, but, you know, I believe that wherever you are at the moment is where God intends for you to be. And you might be facing something that you're really struggling with at that moment. And for me, that's just God working on you. You know, he's just working on you. And you may have to fight and scrap and struggle, and he'll keep working on you until you listen. You know, he's trying to show you something, teach you something. And if you get it, if you take hold, take heed, and move forward, that's great. But if you don't get it, he'll keep at you. He'll stop you in your tracks until you get what you're supposed to get. And so that's not a scripture, but those are some of the things that I kind of, my life has taught me that I keep for me.
Amen. What about you, Joel?
Well, mine's almost a scripture. It's a poem that my grandparents had taken, or that it was based on a verse. And for years, my family has used it sort of as a prayer before meals and that sort of stuff. But it's probably something that will stay with me forever. And it's based on 1 Corinthians 10:31. And is, grant us thy grace, O Lord, that whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do it all in thy name to thy glory.
Yes.
And it just sort of does the, because it talks about food and drink, it works well for a meal, but it's just that constant reminder of, it doesn't matter what I'm doing, sitting around eating a bowl of cereal, I need to be thinking that I'm doing this for God, I'm in this for God. And I can honestly say that doesn't happen all the time, but it's something that I do think about, and it's an important part of my life.
Before we make our round table square, do you have any last word for young people here, for our members, that word of encouragement on Father's Day?
Can I go last?
He can go last, right?
Yes, I got lots of them. Of course, all the cliche ones come rushing to my head first. I mean, stay in school, don't do drugs, follow God. Yes. Those are all important.
Yes.
But,
yes.
But probably be true to yourself. I mean, you figure out who you are. That's going to be it might be a lifelong process, but figure out who you are and who God wants you to be. And once you figure that out, stay true to that, because God won't lead you to the wrong place. And by being there, you will be being in His will, and that's the most important place to be.
And He just thought about that right now. Yeah? Amen. Wow. Yeah. You put Shakespeare to shame. Come on, buddy. Yeah.
I can turn this thing off now, right? Yeah. Okay.
What about Hayes? Any encouraging words?
Sure. Again, from first, the cliches are valuable, just because I worked in an environment where you saw the outcome if you didn't go to school, if you didn't, you know, listen to your parents, if you had good parents, if you know, just kind of, it's not an environment anybody wants to be in. So I those are absolutely true. The other thing that I would say, though, is that something that my mom told me again growing up was that pick a worthwhile goal. You know, young people, pick a worthwhile goal. And the key is worthwhile. Have it be faith-based. Have it be productive, positive. And then when you encounter a questionable situation, you know, you ask yourself, if this thing that I'm getting ready to do or not do or engage in or not engage in, is this going to help me reach my goal, or is this going to hinder me from reaching my goal? And that is a good guide bench. And if the answer is, you know, I don't really see how this can help me, if I'm being honest, then really think twice about engaging in that activity or whatever it is that you're facing. And the key, again, is to have something worthwhile to aim for. And I think we all have examples around us of, people just really struggling, poor choices, and just, so if you just keep worthwhile goals before you, it's not easy, but that can kind of lend you some direction. You know, just, is this going to help me or is it going to hinder me?
Right. Andre? Yeah.
Well, being a father is a grace from God, and seeing my kids grow is an unexplainable experience that only God can provide. At the same time, Paul said that it's better for you, for the others, in Romans, that for it's better not to get married if you don't want to be married, so you can serve more, Jesus. But if your calling is to have a family, then you have a family. So I just want to tell the kids that this is what I did when I was in college when I accepted Jesus. I opened my life and I opened my heart and I asked Jesus to lead me to His. To His will, I drop away my personal ambition and just ask for what God's really want me to be. And I can say that God is growing my faith. God is touching my heart every day, and until now, I would say that the level of experiencing God is always greater and greater, and it's. It's all because I started to ask Jesus to lead my life, because I told Him that I don't want to follow myself, but because I want You to follow me and lead me to where You want me to be. And all this experience since then is amazing. I have a very beautiful family, two beautiful daughters, and they are every day. The question that they're coming from their mouth, they ask about why Jesus died on the cross. And when they are sick, and they will say, like Alexis lately said, that it's okay, Jesus will heal me. I will just pray to Jesus, and the next day he will heal me. And Jesus and Alexis will always tell us that Jesus is a doctor, that that she was healed by Jesus. And it was amazing. It was witnessing that at her early age, by the way, at her early age, that Jesus touching her heart, and that's the most amazing thing that, you know, I experienced as a father.
Yes. Yeah. I am, as a father, I am very pleased and grateful that my boys and my daughter, they have good role models in this church. And you see fine role models here this morning. Gentlemen, fathers, we want to applaud you and thank you for being here in this church. Yeah. Yeah. This time, as the worship team gets ready to, I want to ask a prayer from the church. Pray for my wife and my family. I want to ask a prayer. And can you put the yes? We are going to New Jersey tomorrow. And we're going for a conference. And this conference is important because I am the congregational resource coordinator for the Asian American Baptist Alliance. And in our membership, I know that there are a lot more that are not formal members, but we have about 500 churches as a member of that. And we are having the vote on a new bylaw that will start functioning in 2017. So we're going to go there for that. So another thing, my wife is going to be a part of the regional support group discussion. She's going to lead on the discussion on the regional support, because east, west, northwest. So they're all going to come together and bring the issues or things that are facing in the church, and they're going to talk about that. I'm also in charge of the seminary scholarship. And the seminary scholarship application that comes, we have to decide who we give. We give $1,000 to students for a seminary scholarship, because we want to encourage the young people to study and to do well. This conference is on next generation. That's why I'm excited. I am going to go and learn and listen from other leaders and other churches what they are doing with the next generation, and how do meaningfully engage and connect this next generation with God. So I'm going for that. I'll be back for Sunday, but for the week, my wife and I will not be here. We'll be leading the conference and be a part of the conference. And my boys will be there, because it's for young people, and they are young preachers that will come and preach. Those are in early teens. And I hope one of these days that I'll be able to take our young people to expose them in the national level. So pray for us. At the end of the worship, when they have sang the song, I would like the board members to come forward, and I would ask my family to come forward, and Joel, to our chairman, to lay hands on us and pray for us and send us to do the work of God. So let's be on our feet to worship together.